when we come to the area of prayer, I think we all can say we struggle with it. Because even some of the great saints of the faith, men and women of God, over the years have said that they don't pray enough or they don't pray as they should. And prayer is an important weapon. Prayer is an important tool that God has given to us to use in our life. We know that prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is our relationship with God. Prayer is our connection with God. But we also have a realization that our prayer is given to us so that we can ask. So we can look for help. Now, again, I know some of you who have raised your children didn't have all the answers. I know we didn't have all the answers when it came to raising up our children just in the secular things, but more so in the spiritual things. So, we have a responsibility to pray. We have a responsibility to live our Christian life honoring and pleasing to God. And sometimes we don't have the answers. Lord, what's the next step? And we struggle, and how can we fulfill our responsibilities, the time pressures, the problems, the difficulties, the health issues, the chaos of our society, the anger, the frustration, all these things come. So we face these difficulties and we face our responsibilities. It's not all gloom, though, because we have the hope of the gospel, but we have the hope of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we've already been talking about several things that the Holy Spirit, and first of all, it starts off in verse 1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So we have freedom. We have escape from the penalty due because of our own sinfulness. And he goes on and he works his way through these things. But today we want to focus in on prayer, because I believe we have a great opportunity for the gospel today. How do we go? What's the next step? Where do we go from here? How do we deal with that? How do we work through all these things? Lord, I don't know. Lord, help me. How many of you prayed that prayer? Lord, help me. And that's all that could come out. Lord, help me. On Wednesday nights, I remind you, two prayers you could pray. I mean, I know some of you don't like to pray out loud, but help me, Lord, or thank you, Lord. And this past week, we spent a lot of time, I pray, and I hope, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for them in my life. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this. But how do we deal with the help me times? Help me, Lord. Colossians chapter 4 tells us, devote yourself to prayer. Devote yourself to prayer. Keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. How do we do this? I'm sure we will all, if we're all honest, admit, I struggle with prayer. I struggle in the dark times. I struggle when I don't sense God's leading. I know that it says here that the Holy Spirit will lead us. If we're the children of God, He will lead us. But sometimes there's a fog. There's just can't see beyond, 5 feet. I don't know if you've ever driven in that kind of fog. It's kind of intimidating. What's the next step? I can't see beyond that. My former neighbor, he used to drive a big rig up and down the coast. And he said he would have a line of cars behind him through the fog, and he'd have to pull over for gas or pull over to get something to eat. And he says a whole line of cars would pull off with him to follow him because they would keep their eyes on his lights. Well, sometimes even in the darkest nights, those lights aren't as visible. And as we seek God's leading, Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know the next step. Lord, where are we going on this wild ride? Lord, I can't even get my shoes on today. Lord, and when I do get them on, there's a rock in there and it hurts. Well, I believe the scriptures here give us some assistance in helping us forge through. But I want to give you a reminder, a disclaimer. God has not promised to take you out of every difficulty. He has promised to be with you through every difficulty. There's a teaching out there that says you shouldn't have any problems, that you should have everything, the best of this, the best of that. Friends, you read the scriptures. You read the stories of the martyrs through the ages. Their lives were not problem-free or difficulty-free. But they had a joy in their hearts. Last week I read you the story about Mabel, who had been in a convalescent hospital for 25 years, and most of that time she was bedridden. And yet, when they asked her, what do you think about? I think about Jesus, she said. Now, she only had one sister, and her parents had already passed. She was pretty much alone for those 25 years. And yet, they asked her, what specifically do you think about when you think about Jesus? How I'm going to get up of this bed, I'm going to run to him, and I'm going to get down on my knees and worship him. In the midst of 25 years of pain and agony from the diseases that were ravaging her body, all she could think about was that time, that moment in the future when she would be at the feet of Jesus. That blew my Christianity out of the water because, man, I don't know if I could say that. But again, God gives us the grace when we need it and the strength when we need it. So we come here to the first point. Let me read the passage to you, verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Open our eyes today, Father. Give us direction. Give us comfort. Give us encouragement. Give us the tools we need, Father, so we can face our trials, our difficulties, as James says, but to consider them all joy. Help us through, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. And the first point we want to see here is struggles. Struggles are a part of every Christian's life. Can you get an amen on that? Right? It's a part of every Christian. And it says here, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Well, we're not weak, are we? At least that's not the code of the audio, right? We're tough. We're strong. Men don't cry. Some of you know Kenny Macias. We were out riding our bikes out, our mountain bikes out in Chabon Park. And I remember telling him, I says, Kenny, when you need a break, let me know. I'll stop and wait for you. And he says, no, bro. He says, if you need a break, I'll stop and wait for you. So guess what? We never admitted we needed a break, and we kept going. We're not going to be the ones to first admit I need a break. Yeah. But he says the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. You know, there's frustrating situations that come up in our life. We don't even know what the next step is. We don't even know how to pray or what to pray for. The darkness invades, the darkness comes around us, the cloud shows up. But here, the idea of weaknesses includes physical, emotional, and spiritual disabilities. That's physical, emotional, and spiritual disabilities. And I would dare say, if we all were honest, we would all admit to being weak. This is not an excuse not to pray, though, that the Spirit will pray for us or the Spirit will help us, because it says that we're to be devoted to prayer. And there's times when we think we know the path we need to take. We think we know the direction we should go. We think we know how to fix this situation. Have you ever tried to fix a situation and it only got worse because you didn't consult a professional? I was talking to a plumber one time. He says, man, I can't tell you how many times I have to go in and pull out a snake that broke because somebody tried to snake it themselves, the drain pipe. There used to be a Volkswagen mechanic over here on Whittier Boulevard. It was Colomi Motors, just the other side of where the drive-in used to be. His name was George. He was an old grumpy guy. Man, he would just shake his head. I'm fixing somebody else's problem again. My dad gave me the experience of taking in the Volkswagen because my dad went with a cheaper price and went somewhere else, and it didn't work out right. So he gave me the joy of taking it and having to hear George say, not again. Why don't you guys just bring it to me in the first place? Well, friends, sometimes when we try to fix things, we mess up because we don't have all the information or all the ability. And said, in Isaiah, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways. And sometimes we need to get in tune with God's ways, and sometimes we just have to admit, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the next step is. I don't know where to go from here. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know how to get out of this. And, you know, and when you're involved in ministry, you want to help people fix their problems. And sometimes I just had to back away and say, Lord, handle it. Lord, you know best. Use me as you have to. Show me, lead me, guide me to be a part of the solution. But if you don't meet me, I don't want to get in your way. When Jesus went out to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he took his three disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he left them to sit there to wait for him as he went out a little. And he came back and found them asleep. And he said, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We struggle because we get tired. We struggle because we're distracted. We struggle because sin shows up more often than we want. And we struggle because we're not willing to admit, I am weak. You know, when Adam, when Cain's offering was rejected, he was confronted with these words. If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you and you must master it. Friends, how many times do we go out there and we don't realize the danger we're in? And this is what we need to pray. And I know a lot of parents prayed. You know, I know a lot of parents, you've prayed when your kids have gone out. I know you've prayed when your kids go to school, especially nowadays if you're with all these shootings. You pray, Lord, protect them. Lord, help us to be equipped. Lord, help us to make our children aware. Lord, you know, show up. Please, please present yourself. Provide protection. Guide us. But whatever your will is, let it be done. And so we struggle. We struggle through some of these things, and admitting it is half the battle when you can say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to step in. I need you to take control. And isn't that the salvation story? Of saying, I am a sinner. I can't do this. But only through Christ, through his sacrifice, that we have forgiveness and that we have deliverance from our sin and that we can walk with him in righteousness and holiness. Now, we all have struggles. We all have difficulties. There's a pastor named Don Carson. He tells of an acquaintance of his in Illinois. They have seven children, and all seven children were hemophiliacs. They had problems with their blood clotting, so they were bleeders. Six of the seven children have died of AIDS, contracted through blood transfusions, through no fault of their own. Now, what does a parent do who has lost six children to AIDS through no fault of their own? How do you lift them up in prayer? What do you pray for them? How do you talk to them? How do you, the saying would be, you need the wisdom of Solomon. But no, you need the wisdom of God to be able to minister to people who have hurts, who have struggles, especially in those who have struggles in areas that you have victory, and you've always had victory in those areas, to be able to humble yourself and to reach out into love. Remember, we're not a museum of saints. We're a hospital for sinners. And we come to encourage and to build up and to point out and, yes, even exhort and confront with truth. If you're at the end of your rope today, we all come dressed in our Sunday best, and it has nothing to do with clothes. It's that smile on your face, right? When we ask, how you doing? Everything's okay. Could be better, but everything's okay. Well, I think we have to redefine what okay means, right? But maybe you're at the end of your rope. Be confident that God knows your weakness. Be confident that God knows your struggle. And that be confident and aware that God will step in. But he has a lesson that he wants to teach us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. Which leads us to the second word. The first word was struggles. The second word is help. Help is given to us by God the Spirit. Because look again in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps. The Spirit also helps. For we do not know how we should pray. And the word help here, it's a continuous action.
It's a continual helping. He doesn't leave us alone. No matter how deep in despair we've fallen, God knows. God, the Holy Spirit, is aware, and He steps in. Isn't that an awesome thought? Just to know that God will step in, even when we've made a mess of our lives, we've made mistakes, or when we think we're doing the right thing, God still steps in. Because sometimes the right thing isn't really the right thing. That doesn't make sense, Pastor. I know sometimes we want to step in and help somebody with their problem. We want to throw cash at the problem. And you know, they have a need. We're going to help them. But you know, I have to ask myself, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this what they need? You know, I ran into a couple. I was out riding, and their son had been put in jail. And they asked me to pray that he can get out, pray that God will fix these things and he'll be able to be out. And I said, I'll pray that he learns his lesson before he gets out. That's not what the parents wanted to hear, but friends, we want the immediate deliverance. But the lessons in the struggles and the difficulties need to be learned, right? We don't want to admit that, right? But there's a reality here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? For even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." So if somebody's going to help us, we want the expert, right? We want the professional, right? We want the one with the experience, right? Do you want if somebody's going to do surgery, do you want somebody just out of med school or somebody who's had 5 or 10 years of successful surgeries? I've always thought about it when I've gone to the hospital, you know, is do I want somebody at the beginning of their shift or somebody at the end of their shift? You know, because I understand they work long hours. Now, no, I'm not slamming anybody on this. I'm just saying in my own mind, I want some peace and comfort. If I'm going to go under the knife, do I want somebody who's rested? Just a thought. I'm not trying to scare anybody. Alfred Plummer, a scholar, a theologian, said, "By the work of the Spirit, a heart without words may bring down the blessing of God, because it is the Spirit of God who is pouring them down, who is bringing them down, who is making connections for us. Because sometimes I don't know what's next." Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." The thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, was given to keep him humble. "Concerning this thing, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Friends, what do you want? You want to be strong and tough, or do you want the power of God dwelling in you? Because there's no competition here. God's not going to compete with you. You want to admit that you're strong. You want people to believe you're strong and you're tough and you can handle it. Then, friends, he's going to let you. But he's giving us another way here. He's saying, admit your weakness and the power of God will be strong in you. And, friends, we struggle in our Christian life because we are trying to tough it out. You know, we've believed all those sayings. You can do whatever you set your mind to. No, God and you can do whatever he wants you to do. "Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses." Now, Paul is not saying this to use as an excuse. He's not trying to get out of his responsibilities. He's not trying to shift the load somewhere else. He's just trying to be honest and say, when I admit to God that I am weak, his power takes over. When I say, "I am unable, Lord," he steps in. "Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distress, with persecution, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, and for when I am weak, then then I am strong. Friends, and that's the promise he gives us. We don't know how to pray, so he steps in. We don't know what we need, he steps in. We don't know which direction to go, and he leads us. Again, we don't have the promise he's going to remove every weakness, but that in the weakness, he will give us strength, he will give us direction, he will lead us, he will guide us. The third word we have here is peace. Peace comes as a result of the Spirit's involvement. We face up with the reality we have struggles. God will step in and he'll give us help. But the end result will be peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. He says here in verse 27 of Romans 8, "And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes." He steps in. He prays for the saints according to the will of God. He steps in. He intercedes. Interceding is an appeal on our behalf. The Spirit, who is God, is in full agreement with the Father and the Son as to what needs to happen, or what needs to be opened, or what needs to be closed, or what words need to be said, and what words need to be kept quiet. He intercedes for the saints. So the question comes, so then why do I pray? If he knows me and he knows my heart and he intercedes, in fact, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ himself lives ever to intercede for us. Why do I pray? We pray because God has commanded us to pray. But Paul gives us these words, that our prayers are not alone. That our prayers are supported by the work of the Holy Spirit and God the Son. These words are given to us as an encouragement that my voice is not one lost out there. I remember in the early years of text messaging, I sent you a text, but I never got it. Where did it go? It got lost somewhere out there. Who knows where it is? Friends, that never happens. When a believer is calling to his Father, the Father hears. He may not respond the way we want, but we have the peace and assurance to know that he hears. I was helping coach the sixth grade football at Brethren Elementary. I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just out there. The coach was telling me what to do, so I was doing it. And there was a controversial call. And it went against us. And the parents were really, really upset. And they felt that the flag had been pulled before their player got into the end zone. And I went and asked them about it. And I asked them simply, there was only one way... For me, there was only one real answer. Did you see him pull the flag? He said, yes, I saw him pull the flag. I said, okay, then I'm fine with your call. But the parents, oh, how could you? I shook his hand after. It's a Christian league. Why are we supposed to be so antagonistic? You know, I gave him a hug, all right? We didn't like the call, but you said you saw it. Okay, I'm fine with that. Let's go. You know, God is sovereign, right? God is in control. He has no one who should question him. In fact, he told Job, where were you when the foundations of the world were laid? Where were you when this? Where were you when this? Where were you when... Basically, shut up then. Stop your complaining. Stop your whining. Stop your grieving. I'm here for you. I'm with you. I'm here. You know, and sometimes it's easy to say when you're not going through difficulties. And sometimes those words can be hard to live out when you're in the midst of pain and suffering. And agony and distress. But God, you heard my prayer, right? Yeah? Okay, I'm fine with that. Because I know you are a good God, a compassionate God, a loving God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, and you know exactly what needs to happen. Take my prayer, fix it up, because you know what? I probably just threw it out there, and it probably didn't make sense, but that's all I could utter, and or
That's what I thought at the moment was best. But since you have the big picture in play, you know what needs to fall into what place. And with that, peace should settle in our heart. Okay, God knows, God's aware, and God's sovereign. I'm at peace with that. I can say it very clearly right now. But could I say that when my mom died, when my dad died, when my sister died? Could I say that, you know, walking into surgery? Could I say that as I saw people throwing their lives away? Yes, God is still in control. And I have to get myself submitted to that reality that I do have struggles. He has promised to help me. And with those two things, I could be at peace. Because he has me. Because he tells in 1 Kings in chapter 8, he says, "You alone know the hearts of all the sons of men." He knows our hearts. He knows what we're struggling with. Don't try to hide it from him. Open your heart to him. Because this is an issue of submission on your part. He already knows. You can't lock anything away from God. He knows. But this is an area for you to submit and to surrender and say, "Okay, God, take a look at this." My mom had a bad habit of coming over and checking to see if there was dust. Checking out a few other things. Make sure the food was good that her mijo was getting. I don't think any of you had mother-in-laws like that, but Sarah did. I don't know where I was going with that. Where was I going? Philippians 4. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Stop and think about that for a moment. It will guard your hearts and your minds. When you're in an anxious moment, what do you lose control of? I know what I lose control of. I lose control of my thoughts. I start racing in my mind, "Well, I should say this, I should do that, I could have done that, I could have said this, and, you know, wait till they come, wait till I see them again, you know, they're going to get this and they're going to get that." I don't know if any of you all face those battles. Sarah's always telling me, "Who are you talking to?" Or she'll tell me, "Did you win the argument?" Usually I tell her, I needed expert advice, and so I was talking to myself. Guys, I'll get you in trouble with your wife, so don't say that, though. Okay, after 43 years, she rolls off her back. It will guard your hearts and your minds. Because when we're also in anxious times or distressful times or depressed times, we make some stupid mistakes. I'm sorry for using that word, but we make some bad choices, don't we? It's from simple things as when you're on a diet, "Well, I had one cookie, I might as well have the whole pack." To worse things, you know, to horribly worse things. Friends, are you in peace today? Are you living in peace today, true peace? Doesn't mean that things aren't going on around your life. Doesn't mean that everything is settled and you've had the last word on everything and everything is in its order and its place and your kids are just perfect and your grandkids are even more perfect. And your great grandkids, man, they're angels. They're without mistake. They can't do anything wrong. No, friends. But in the midst of all this booyah, especially, you know, for Thanksgiving, you know, families don't get together like they used to. We didn't have everybody at the house this year. Not everybody showed up, you know, for whatever reasons. The reasons we were told and the other reasons, you know. So again, you know, sometimes family times are stressful times and difficult. And Christmas is coming up. What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? I know how I'm going to get through this. I'm going to put my faith in Christ. I'm going to stand on the solid rock. And I'm going to trust that he will bring those who need to be together, together. And that those who don't come, he will work out. And he will help them and encourage them to point them to Jesus. Because guess what? My house is not the only house you can have Thanksgiving dinner and have a great time. I understand. My kids are growing up and they're spreading their wings. Praise God for that. How about you? Are you at peace with where things are? I'm not saying complacent. I'm not saying complacent. Complacent, well, whatever. Kiss, sarah, sarah. Well, we had a lady in our church, Anna. Whatever. So what? Not that kind of life. Not that kind of life, but it's, I'm okay, we're here, and I'm continuing to progress with Christ. Continuing in my sanctification, my journey, my prayer. Prayer through the struggles, prayer through the weaknesses, prayer through the opportunities, prayer through the difficulties. It worked. In the first century, the church had suffered much persecution, and a lot of the persecution suffered were at the hands of Paul. Paul was converted, we find the story in Acts chapter 9, and then the persecution turned against him because he was promoting the wonderful name of Christ, the powerful name of Christ. And the persecution continued. Even though Paul had been converted, the persecution had continued. But a verse in Acts chapter 9, verse 31 reads, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up, going on in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit." Friends, as a church, we need to move on in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We are here to honor God first and foremost. Whatever path it takes us, whatever doors it opens or closes for us, we must be obedient because we fear the Lord. But no matter the sacrifice, no matter the calling, no matter the commitment, no matter the struggles, we can walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We need to line ourselves up there for the sake of eternity and for others' eternity. But maybe you're here this morning and this doesn't make sense to you. This is new to you. Well, God offers to you salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, and the step to admit, I can't fix this in my life. Because the Bible tells us that we're all under the judgment of sin. And there's no way of getting out from underneath that. By paying for it, by being smart enough, by being good looking enough, by sneaking your way in, there's no way of getting past that. The only way to get into heaven is through Christ Jesus, surrendering and submitting to his sacrifice that he paid for your sin. So you admit that we have a holy God, and you admit to yourself that you are not holy at all, but we can have confidence that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, who will pay for your sin. And you need to come and meet with Jesus and let him save you. And the moment you're saved is the moment you get the Holy Spirit to fill you. And the moment these promises of Romans 8 become yours. Father, this morning we come with gratefulness. Continue to pray for Levi, for Alex, for the many other families, the young kids that are here in our church, Father. We pray for them, strengthen them, encourage them, point them in the right direction, but help them to know they have this avenue. And when they admit their struggles, they'll find help in you, and you will give them a peace that surpasses all understanding. Help them as they raise their children in Christ. Help those of us who are past that stage in our life or maybe not there yet. Help us in our walk with you to do all we can and to be supportive of them and to be encouraging to one another. That, Father, we would build a church that is honored and glorifying to you. And for that, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. And God's people said, amen. Go in peace.